Hey, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I'm just popping in to tell you that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Even when there were signs that things weren't looking good, the announcement that Green Mountain College will be closing in May still came as a shock to many students and community members in Pulteney, where the college is located. The college has been facing declining enrollment and revenues and struggling to stay afloat. And the administration says that potential deals that could have kept the college open fell through, leaving them with no other option. Today on the show, we're going to take a look at the impact of the closure on students and on the community. Joining us first is VPR reporter Nina Keck, based in Rutland, who's been reporting on the closure. Nina, it's a pleasure to have you join us. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
So when did the school first start considering closing or thinking that that might be a possible end to this story?
A while ago, when I talked to President Bob Allen, he said they had been trying to wrap their heads around this as far back as 18 months ago. And I've heard from other sources close to the college that have echoed that. So it was a month-long process of school officials, administrators, trying to figure out, you mentioned deals on the table, and I was told there were deals on the table up until about 3 days before they made the announcement to close, and all of those details just kept falling through for one reason or another.
And why did they need to close? I mean, what were the financial particulars that were making them think we cannot stay open?
Well, it's kind of what we're hearing from a lot of small private colleges nationwide. This is not a Green Mountain College unique situation. Their population or their school enrollment was declining. I think from about 775 undergraduates 10 years ago to about 427 last semester. That was according to President Bob Allen when I sat down with him. And while their enrollment was dropping so much, their costs to run the college kept rising, and it was just unsustainable.
Are there other schools that are doing this better? I mean, as you said, this is something that a lot of small private colleges are dealing with, this idea of, you know, declining enrollments around the nation and a changing landscape for higher education. Some will survive and some won't. And, you know, some of it is how much money does a school have and how can it attract top students or keep those enrollment numbers up. But there are schools that are trying to change things around as well. Do you have a sense from your reporting, Nina, about whether Green Mountain College made this transition badly or is just a casualty of the changing landscape?
I would say the latter, but I didn't report deeply enough to you know, uncover any malfeasance. But I would say I think Green Mountain College really struck out early on to identify itself as a sustainable college, as a green alternative type small college. And in many ways, they were ahead of the curve on that, really made a name for themselves. But I think that caught on and competition intensified as other schools also tried to make themselves more sustainable and attract kind of a more alternative student body, perhaps. But I think one of the things that the president had mentioned to me when we were sitting down talking about this is, unlike an elite college like a Middlebury, say, which has a really large endowment, Green Mountain College's students go on to jobs that are perhaps more modest, you know, and they don't have the big endowment that a lot of other small private schools might have. And that was a hindrance. I think when they, you may talk about this on the program, about how alumni are trying to save the school right now. And when I talked to people close to this whole process, they said, you know, we would have loved to have heard from them years ago when we sent out letters asking for money from alumni. They were not giving large donations, and that was a struggle.
So not just large endowment gifts or now a large gift to keep the college afloat, but it wasn't a situation where Green Mountain College could rely on alumni annually to be giving, you know, in bulk enough to sort of keep the college afloat either.
Exactly. You know, you've got a lot of students studying things like farming at Green Mountain College and environmental studies and sciences, super important jobs, jobs people feel passionately about. But often these are not jobs that bring huge salaries where people can write big checks to their favorite college.
Nina, you mentioned the passion that people felt and that sort of feeling around the college. Jesse in Danby emailed in to say, my position on staff at GMC brought me to Vermont in 2005. And although I haven't worked there for over a decade, I still consider the staff, faculty, and affiliates of the school my community here in southwestern Vermont. You can certainly argue that the sustainability focus of the school was good for its own sake, but I want to point out that the committed faculty and administrators who refocused GMC on the environmental liberal arts did so with an unwavering commitment to student learning and community impact, an impact felt in the region and across higher education. I don't know anyone who worked for the school for the pay. You could earn more almost anywhere else. But the mission was key, and the community of educators, alumni, and supporters who gathered around that mission will have lasting impacts here in Vermont and beyond. Nina, are you hearing that from people connected to the school?
Oh, so many. And, you know, they're all different sort of fields, some professors, other people that I've talked to that work on campus in various capacities. Everybody is very distraught. One professor that I interviewed a couple weeks ago just talked about how he's grieving. You know, he's not angry. This is William Troop, who teaches philosophy and sustainability, and he just said, you know, I've been here 18 years, and I think it was 18 years, and I'm grieving. And I think there is just an incredible sadness. And across Rutland County, I think people felt just so sad when they heard that the college was closing for a whole lot of reasons. But it did play an important role in the county. And I think you're going to hear from students, I'm sure, today that say, you know, it changed their life.
Well, let's hear from someone now, Brian, calling in from Burlington. Hi, Brian. What's your connection?
Hi. So I'm an alum of Green Mountain College. I studied agriculture and food systems there. And I agree. I'm sad that the college is closing. And I just wanted to point out that the whole ethos of Green Mountain College was about sustainability. And I know that there are some of my, other alum who want to save GMC, and I know that it's really going to be a big shock to the town. But if we look at the college and this closing through the ethos that we learned there, this kind of, to me, seems like the ultimate lesson that the college can give us in sustainability, and that the college itself was not sustainable in terms of students or tuition. And so I think that we really have to understand that if something is not sustainable, you have to let it go and let it stop. Doesn't mean there won't be a legacy, but maybe the legacy is this lesson.
Brian, do you, though, then think that the ethos, that idea of focusing on sustainability, was the wrong way to go? I mean, we live in a capitalistic society. Would it have been better for the school to say, let's have a cutthroat kind of nature here, and we're going to survive, and we're going to take no prisoners and make the money and survive?
No. I think, it's not that the lessons were invalid that I learned there, that other students learned there. It was just that, the overall functioning of the college was unable to be sustainable. We still learned about sustainability and,
Yeah, I hear you, Brian, and I appreciate that and appreciate the point that you're making as well of this, for you at least, being the ultimate lesson that your college has taught you about when something is not sustainable, maybe you don't try to keep it going when it can't be kept going. We also got a note from Darian in Wells, who is also an alum and writes, as a recent graduate of the college, I was both enraged and embarrassed at the obvious mismanagement of finances by the Board of Trustees and other higher-ups who were involved with driving the school into the ground. The facilities at the school, dorms, classrooms, recreation areas, etc., were all severely outdated and lacking, so that certainly does not explain the allocation of funds. Professors at the college often griped about making salaries lower compared to other college professors nationally, so that also does not explain where the money has gone. The college president, Bob Allen, should be ashamed of himself for taking his $500,000 salary, knowing that the school would be closing, and many residents of Pulteney and the surrounding community would be left without job opportunities in an already stagnant market. I am beyond disgraced and embarrassed to be associated with the college because of this gross negligence. Nina Keck, you mentioned that you haven't uncovered or heard of any financial malfeasance, but you know Darian is also saying maybe the president shouldn't have taken his salary if he knew this was coming. How are people reacting to this announcement and to the administration?
I think there is a lot of anger. I talked to students who felt like they should have been warned earlier about this. People in town feel that more information should have been forthcoming. But I also think it's important to point out that the president has only been president, I think this was his third year. And so he came into a situation of declining enrollments and, escalating costs. So I'm not sure that, you know, you can point to the current president and say, you know, he's been asleep at the switch. I think he came into a situation, as I mentioned before, that a lot of small private colleges are facing. You know, our tuition incoming money is declining, our outgoing money is expanding, what do we do? And he did say, the president did mention to me that he had sat down with members of the faculty maybe a year or so ago to try to figure out, well, if we totally change up the way we do things at the school, drop our enrollment numbers to, say, 300 undergraduates, cut our faculty by 50%, come up with a different model, would that be more sustainable? And he told me that they tried it a number of different ways, and it just wasn't workable. So
that, you know, wasn't working out. So Nina, now that the announcement has been made, the school is officially closing. It's working with students, many of whom, of course, won't be graduating in May, to try to figure out where they can go and what comes next and how much it's going to cost them. What do you know about the collaborations with other schools?
So Green Mountain College has formal teach-out agreements with a number of different schools. Prescott College in Arizona, I think, is the one they have the tightest relationship with, but they also are working with Castleton University, Sterling College, and Marlboro here in Vermont, Chatham University in Pittsburgh, Alaska Pacific in Anchorage, College of the Atlantic, Paul Smith College in the Adirondacks, and Unity College. Those all have these agreements so that students from Green Mountain College can transfer much more easily into those schools without fees, without big application costs or anything, that their credits are guaranteed to transfer. And I believe they've worked out agreements where the tuition that the students are paying at Green Mountain College will be matched so that if they transfer to any of these schools, they'll pay the same amount and that they should be able to have all of their credits transfer and they'll find a similar major type thing. So they're trying to make it as easy as possible. But, you know, for students that don't want to go to any of those schools, you know, they're going to be in a bit of a bind.
Let's go now to Tim, who is the Dean of Admissions and Financial Aid at Sterling College. Hi, Tim. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me on.
So Sterling College is one of the institutions that Nina mentioned that's actually working with Green Mountain College to try to come to a deal. How's Sterling doing that?
That's right. And let me just say, what a sad turn of events. We're really deeply saddened by the loss of Green Mountain College. It's a loss for Pulteney, for the state of Vermont, for higher education. Our door is open, and GMC students have a seat at our table. As mentioned, we're matching financial aid awards, so there's no increase in the cost of attendance. Credits automatically transfer, and there's no application for admission. We're not choosing among candidates. We're simply opening up the door and welcoming students while we have capacity to do so.
And so, you know, is that something that was easy to accommodate, or does that take some scrambling? I mean, if the rumors were really flying for a while that this might be the ultimate end for Green Mountain College, perhaps you knew about this early enough to have those accommodations in place.
Well, it certainly has taken a lot of effort, but it's effort that we're happy to put in to help a college that is really kin to Sterling. Our mission is devoted to environmental stewardship. Happily, we're thriving financially and in all other ways. We're just reaching out to these students to try to help as much as we can. And let me just say, the students who I've met from GMC, I am so impressed by the way that they are weathering this situation and approaching the transition with a lot of grieving, but also with just great integrity, and it's been an honor to work with them.
That's Tim Patterson, Dean of Admissions and Financial Aid at Sterling College, one of the colleges working with students at Green Mountain College who might want to transfer there. Tim, thank you very much for talking with us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I could just add that we hope that many of these students will choose to stay in Vermont. GMC, it's a Vermont institution, and we hope that many students will finish their degree in the Green Mountains.
Yeah, thanks for that point. Of course, interesting to see what students do, though, who may have chosen Green Mountain College because of its proximity to home, for example, an ability to live at home and save money while you're at college. You know, places like Sterling may make a great transition if that's something that you can do. Difficult, though, for students who are trying to save money by living at home. And we'll talk with one of those students in just a moment. But before we let you go, Nina, just briefly, what is still to be decided? Because obviously, you know, closing doesn't mean that all of the buildings go poof or all of the debt. So what's still to be figured out here with Green Mountain College?
Well, a lot when you think about the campus downtown. And I'm not exactly sure how many acres it is. I was trying to get that from the town clerk today in Pulteney. Several people were saying it's more than 100 acres. But it's a really beautiful campus, but there are a lot of older buildings. So upkeep costs will have to be factored in for anybody who purchases the campus. I understand they have gotten a handful of interested calls, mostly from schools overseas that want to have a U.S. presence, like a college that's overseas. I think when I talked to Bob Allen, he said they'd gotten calls from Australia and Taiwan. But really, there's each time they get one of these calls, I'm sure the board of trustees, everybody has to look into it, investigate, find out how serious the buyers might be, what to value it at. The school, I think, is at about $21 million-ish in debt, and I think that the campus has been valued at about maybe $20 million-ish, so that should cover most of the debts. But, you know, how do you sell a campus? I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting thing to watch.
Well, I am sure you'll be around to watch it and report on it for us. VPR's Nina Keck has been covering the announced closure of Green Mountain College in Pulteney, and we'll be following up to see what happens as more details emerge. Nina, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jane.
Let's go to Darren calling in from Woodbury. Hi, Darren. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I graduated Green Mountain in 2007. And even then, and probably since, there were always rumors and concerns about money being an issue. But in the years since, there's not been any increase in communication with alumni or others on campus, apparently, to tell us that it was this dire. So the news certainly came as quite the shock, and feels like, to a lot of us, just a serious lack of leadership from the administration's point in using the alumni to either recruit more students or develop a new model for higher education for the school to keep it viable.
How much would you have given if you had known that the school was facing closure?
Well, I was giving, and I tried to give some every year, but as you pointed out earlier in the program, you know, I'm not making millions of dollars a year either.
Yeah.
So I could give probably $100 a year at best. And there were a lot of us who were trying to do that. But, you know, as again pointed out, it certainly doesn't create a large endowment either.
So I guess what I'm getting at is, if you had known, you know, would that, when you say the alumni should have known, we could have recruited, we could have, you know, had a different financial plan, do you think that would have been enough to save the college? I mean, obviously nobody knows, but you think that the alumni could have come together in a more cohesive way or coherent way?
I do think, and for two reasons. One, just looking at the group that are still pushing to try to raise enough money and just the interest that they're raising, as well as the idea that it was raised at 1.2 just in the recruitment efforts. And it seems like a simple thing to have an alumni who's really dedicated and love their time at the school and can talk about the sustainability, et cetera, go to a local high school, you know, go to a college fair and just kind of talk up the school and, you know, advertise essentially and build that interest outside of just New England.
Yeah, Darren, I really appreciate
it. It would have required a different model.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you. And I hear your frustration and sadness about the announced closure of the school, too. And appreciate your thought on, hey, had I known, maybe there's something that people like me could have done. Thank you for sharing that. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're looking at the closure of Green Mountain College in Pulteney. The closure was announced last month, and it's expected to happen at the end of the school year, though many details still remain up in the air. We got what's known currently from VPR's Nina Keck, but let's get some more perspective from people whose lives are going to be affected by this closure. Now, we did want to have someone from the administration at Green Mountain College represented in this discussion, but the PR firm hired by the college told us that nobody from the college would be made available for us today. They did send a statement credited to President Bob Allen that says, quote, "As we announced publicly nearly 3 weeks ago, the GMC administration is committed to and fully focused on working closely with our students, faculty, staff, and partners to ensure a transition that is as smooth as possible for all key stakeholders, especially our students. When there is new news about GMC to share, as always, the GMC administration will update the college community as well as the broader community, including the media." Well, if students are the focus, let's talk with one of them. Allison Irons is with us. She's a junior at Green Mountain College, and she lives at home in Fairhaven. Allison, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
What made you choose Green Mountain College in the first place?
So I actually studied my first year of college at St. Michael's up in Colchester, and it wasn't a very financial decision for us. I paid a lot to go there, and after my first semester, I noticed that, hey, we're paying a lot of money that maybe I could, you know, find another institution next year that wouldn't cost as much and, you know, go to a school where I could have the same financial package for the last 3 years and not be as much in debt with my student loans.
What are you studying?
I'm currently studying in our communication studies program, and I have a double minor in philosophy and gender studies.
So were you surprised by the announcement that the college is going to be closing at the end of the spring semester?
At first, no. There was rumors flying around. There was a recording flying around campus just before we went on winter break. And as soon as...
What do you mean a recording?
There was a recording that was being emailed around campus to students about the possible decisions that the college could take. One being that the college would close at the end of the semester. The second being merging with another local college, such as like Castleton or UVM. And then there was just closure within the next few years, graduating all the current students. But that seemed unlikely if there was no new students coming in, and the numbers would just be 400 to 300 to, like, less than 100 students on campus. So.
So it wasn't a total surprise, but still, once you realize, okay, I really do have to do something different now, you know, what are you thinking about where you might go? We heard from Sterling College, but Sterling College is in Craftsbury. You're living at home to save money in Fairhaven. So, you know, what do you do now?
Well, I weighed all the decisions. They brought up a screen that had the teach-out schools. I believe there's 11 of them in total, and they said Castleton had already contacted us, and they would like to do a teach-out program, but our main colleges are Sterling, Prescott in Arizona, Marlboro, other colleges, College of the Atlantic, and some students started, you know, making comments as Bob Allen was talking and saying, like, we can't afford to go there, we're local, we can't afford to pick up and move once we moved here. And it was just really heartbreaking hearing all the comments coming from just hundreds of students sitting in that auditorium that day.
Yeah, and what about for you? What were you feeling?
Well, I was still in shock after, you know, they said, oh, hey, we're closing. And I was, like, taking it in, and then I realized, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? I only have 1 year left and maybe three more semesters, but what am I going to do? How am I going to tell my parents, like, I transferred already to one school, and now I have to look at transferring again. This was me 2 years ago, deciding to come to Green Mountain College. And now it's like, where do I go? What do I do?
What have you thought in the intervening couple of weeks? Do you have a plan yet?
I do not have a plan yet, but I am looking at a few colleges. Prescott is my number one choice due to the teach-out agreement in the financial package. The same is with Castleton. Being it local, I could still live at home, or I could choose to live on campus, pay a little bit extra. And then I did play soccer for the college this past fall, So other colleges have contacted me personally or contacted our coach and said, we want to help these girls find a team to play on if they're interested. We want to work with a college to do the same thing as these teach-out schools are doing. Because some of these teach-out schools do not have athletic programs because they are just as small as we are or just a little bit bigger but still small.
And you're saying teach-out schools. By that, you mean schools that have this agreement with Green Mountain College so you won't have to reapply and do that whole process again, and they'll honor financial aid agreements and tuition agreements, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I actually talked to Prescott College. I brought in a copy of my unofficial transcript. I told them how much I paid. And they said, we can match that. And you may have to work a little bit longer. You may have to do an extra semester or two. You may not be able to graduate when you can. But you'll still be able to complete what you need in order to complete your degree within the next 2 to 3 years.
And again, Prescott is in Arizona, so that would be a big change for you.
That would be a huge change. Change of scenery would be nice since I've been in Vermont for the past 13 years since we've moved here. But Castleton is also the top choice because of its localness to us. I live 11 minutes from Pulteney. I live about 6 minutes from Castleton's campus. And it may not be right for me to go all the way up to Arizona. I'd have to leave my family, my pets behind. I'd have to leave all my friends from home. But I have to weigh that opportunity because it is the best decision given to students at Green Mountain.
Well, Allison, best of luck to you. I hope it feels like the right decision, whichever decision you make. Allison Irons is a junior at Green Mountain College, and she lives at home in Fairhaven. For now, we'll see what happens next. Allison, thanks.
Thank you so much.
We're talking about the closure of Green Mountain College and looking at reactions from around the community. Chris emailed in to say, the news of the closing hits hard for my family. My father was born and raised in Pulteney. My mother, a student from Brooklyn, New York, graduated from the college in the late 1940s. When my dad returned to Pulteney after World War II, he met my mom. So the college is how my nuclear family came to be. I have family members on my father's side who worked their entire lives as support staff at the college, and my mother is 89. Dawn is on the line with us from Wells. Hi, Dawn. You're connected to Green Mountain College as well, huh?
I am. I'm the founder director of Friends in Adoption, a licensed adoption placement agency located at Main Street in Pulteney. And we have had many interns and currently have Julie and Jamil as interns. And I can't speak more highly of how much we appreciate the interns and the work they do for Friends in Adoption. So we're going to miss them tremendously. And it's very sad to see this happening. And Julia and Jamil, who are hopefully listening now, we talked to them afterwards, are devastated. It's hard watching the students as they go by the office. And again, they'll be missed.
Well, Don, I appreciate you sharing your perspective. Thank you very much. Amy is calling in from Windsor. Amy, your thoughts?
Hello.
Hi.
I just have a comment to make. I was never lucky enough to go to college. I didn't have the money. I tried once and ran out of money. But in this country, it's really kind of disgusting that we can come up with $400 million to run a political campaign, but the richest in the nation just can't dig into their wallets to pay the bills of a small college. They can't come up with $21,000 to pay the college's bills and keep it open.
$21 million, I think, is what you mean, Amy. But yeah, I hear you. You know, given all of the disparities in the kinds of financial situations we're talking about, you know, that $21 million is about the debt of the college, and Amy wishing that maybe political campaign money could be diverted to something like higher education. Danny is calling in from Wells. Another call from Wells. Hi, Danny.
Hi there. I'm calling in. I'm a 2016 alum that graduated from the Reed program, and I recently, this past semester, started working in the Reed shop, which is our wood shop on campus, just managing it, making sure everyone's safe, teaching safety certification courses and the like. And, you know, there's a group of us, a group of alumni in Pulteney who are trying to preserve the essence and the ideas that Green Mountain College, you know, that they, what they stood for but still having it in Pulteney in some way and helping the community out, because there's a lot of us alums that live in town that want to stay in Pulteney, but there needs to be something there for us to rally around. I'm in the process of creating a makerspace in Pulteney at the existing Reed shop right now. And there's actually a meeting. Our first meeting is Friday at 6 o'clock, at the actual Reed shop.
Well, Danny, thank you for that. Friday, 6 o'clock for that meeting for Makerspace. Danny's still trying to create something, keep this sense of community and keep some people in the area who might otherwise have to leave. And speaking of community in the area and what's happening, let's talk to Bob Williams. Bob owns Williams Hardware in Pulteney, and he's with us from Peg TV in Rutland, our studio there. Bob, nice to talk with you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So you not only own a hardware store in town, but you have other ties to the college. Can you just tick through real quickly how you feel connected to Green Mountain College?
Sure. Very disappointed that it's having to close. Both of my parents graduated from Green Mountain College. My sister graduated from Green Mountain College. I've had the store for quite a while. I just turned 70. I started there when I was 12. I guess that makes me the laziest person. I refuse to update my resume. I know lots of the faculty. I know lots of the students. Very active at going to the college for concerts, basketball games, plays. So very disappointed that they are closing.
But you own real estate as well, and you rent to students? So
sure.
This has a financial impact?
Sure. I also have an apartment house, and I have 5 apartments, and almost all of them are college students at the moment.
So when you think about, Bob, I mean, this school is a part of the community and a part of your life, and has been certainly, and a part of family history for you. Do you think the closure will have a big impact on the town? I mean, are you worried about what this means for the town beyond, you know, the students and faculty who obviously are very directly affected by this?
I'm certainly nervous and concerned. I just don't know. Of course, it'll be taken over, I guess, by the USDA on June 30th. I was hoping they might be on radio today. I'd like to find out what they had to say. Nina did a great job. Took all of my talking points.
Yeah,
she was very accurate with so much. Yes, they have a lot of the students are from low income families. Bob Allen, the president, was saying that 45% of their students get Pell grants. So that means you are from a low income family. So they just can't call all these parents and say, "Do you have an extra $1 million?" Because they don't.
Yeah. When you mentioned the USDA, that's not something that Nina was telling us about. She said that there's still a lot to be decided about the financial future of the institution. Obviously, they need to pay off the debts, but are they going to be purchased by another school? So what do you mean the USDA is going to take over?
They're the ones, I guess, that have loaned most of the money to the college. So they will be the owners or the supervisors.
I'll still say
maybe owners on June 30th. So I'd like to find out from them. My questions that I had with Bob Allen, well, so does somebody mow the lawn after June 30th? And are the dorms going to be heated in the wintertime? And how about security people around there? He couldn't answer that then because it was only just 2 days after they made the announcement in the USDA. We'll have to make those decisions. He couldn't speak for them, and I certainly can't speak for the college. But
you bring up an interesting point because, you know, for somebody who lives and works in Pulteney, it's not just, I mean, a big part of it is obviously the people and what happens, but some of it is just, you know, what does your community actually look like and what happens to the landscape and the buildings and the grass and how that impacts the way people coming through town, whether they live there or are just passing through, perceive the community. And so it does have a big impact, and I'm glad that you raised that. I'm curious what you will do now. I mean, you said you go to games, you know faculty, you know alumni.
Oh, sure. It'll be tough to go, but as one of my customers said, it's almost like a marriage. You can't give up. Well, they have been trying for a number of years. This is not a new problem. And that's why they finally have not been able to come up with the money.
Mm. Bob Williams owns Williams Hardware in Pulteney. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and going to our studio at Pig TV in Rutland. Bob, thanks and good luck.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jacoby, an alum of the school, emailed in to say, I'm one of many alumni who fell in love with the area and stayed. I am now raising a family and farming with my husband, another GMC alum. The closure of Green Mountain College will have ripple effects for years to come. In the immediate future, I worry about the economic health of Pulteney. I will miss the interesting students the college brought in. I will miss the faculty and staff who are so much a part of the community. I will miss the social and cultural events the college offered. But in the long term, I think this area will feel the loss of graduates like me who decided to settle down and start businesses here.